Tomorrow, the 6th of January, is Epiphany, when the Magi came to worship the child. Today's reading tells of a 12-year-old Jesus already in the temple. I was tempted to say it's a Y2K scheduling problem, but the fact of the matter is on Wednesdays we've been reading the one-year series lessons for the week, and this is how it rolls around, the second Sunday after Christmas, although if you stop to think about it, that still doesn't quite solve the problem, and I'm still a little baffled, but then so are a lot of people in the text, and they're baffled about a lot more important things than that. We know the bare particulars. We're told people were amazed and astonished, but what must have gone on in their heads? Teachers looking at a boy engaged in theological discourse far beyond his years, and Mary and Joseph come upon the scene and hearing quite a remarkable reply. Just who was this Jesus? It is a question of identity. A pastor I know told a true story, sat at a crowded airport ticket counter. Dozens of people from the gold card holders down to the hopeful standbys were waiting, jamming the area while the desk agents fussed with a balky computer. And then one self-important man pushed his way to the front and waved a credit card and said, "I've got to have a first-class ticket on this flight immediately." "Sir, please wait. We all would like to get on this plane." "You don't understand. Do you know who I am?" And with that, without missing a beat, the agent picked up the mic, cranked up the volume, and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem here. This man apparently does not know who he is. Could anyone help him out?" And they did exactly that, and the man slinked away to the back of the line. He hadn't asked, but he really raised the issue of identity and what difference it all really makes. We live in an age consumed with identity, even to the point of having crises over them. Ads assault our self-image. They presume to tell us what we should look like, down to what we should feel, which has long ago since replaced what we think. Politicians, some older than I, am still trying to reinvent themselves. Hollow men who will do just about anything as long as it gets them votes. We scramble, on the other hand, to find out about another politician, this Vladimir Putin, this Yeltsin successor, a shadowy figure, a functionary with little public persona or identity. Every day we run into people, and we wonder, what are they like? What are these persons all about? As Y2K loomed, there were any number of people who fretted that computers would crash, and they, if not their bank accounts as well, would disappear in a nanosecond, and they would be no more than blips now purged from cyberspace. They would be non-entities, devoid of an identity, gone from the data bank, regardless of what they may say, and no matter how they may protest in flesh and blood person. Long ago, when MASH still ran on television, there was a show where one local farmer after another came into the camp with an identity card asking for medical help. All day long it went on. And then on the verge of being taken, for about the sixth or seventh time, Hawkeye looked at the now familiar ID card, looked at the man and said, "Can you identify yourself?" And the cardholder of the moment said, "This is me." That's all he had to offer. This is me. How do we arrive at an identity, and what difference does it make? The question sparked by the text, wouldn't you love to know all that's going on as people are shaping images and impressions here? What all was going on around this temple scene? This presumably was no marathon 72-hour session there with the leaders and Jesus. How did he get there? What did he do? Did he come and go? What went on in the time? And then we know of the Mary and Joseph side of things. One day out, no Jesus. One day walking back, and then they search for him and finally find him. Where did they look in the meantime? Why would they have gone somewhere else? And when Mary is perplexed at the answer, we have to wonder. Look at all the things she'd seen and heard to this point and experienced. What had the leaders said and asked? And especially, what had Jesus said, particularly when it came to hearing these scriptures, the verses of the Old Testament, and applying them to himself? What was going on in his mind as he heard the texts, the comments from the leaders, and put things into place? Obviously, as Luke tells us, he knew something was different, and there is no identity crisis there. What wouldn't he know, on the one hand, is God? And yet, we also hear twice, at the beginning and at the end, that here is one who is growing and developing. What was he learning, seated amid the teachers? Questions abound over and over. These things rise up. And we could speculate no end, but don't. Take what we have and focus there. Perhaps there's a reason that no more was breathed by the Spirit and written for our learning. If nothing else, our stream of questions drives home the distinction between this Jesus and ourselves. He understands who he is and what he is to be about. He is, as this translation said, in his Father's house. You perhaps also remember the line about his Father's business. And we, well, we have a disastrous record from Genesis 3 on when it comes to framing and forging identity. Being in the image is not enough. We would have the identity of gods, and as a result, we can only stand mute, puzzling at the picture at hand. We know that we don't know. That's part of our nature, part of our identity. We have no choice. There are two camps. On the one side is Jesus by himself, and on the other is everyone else, including us. And it is because we are not at the center of things, because we are on the outside, confused, perplexed, that this pericope has to be there with Jesus at the center. It is not simply a matter of being at a loss when it comes to understanding fully what's going on behind and beyond the verses. It is because we are lost on an eternally deeper level that the scene makes a very important statement to us. It is necessary. We are not Jesus. No one else in this pericope, no one else here today is, but we are desperately in need of Jesus. And it is for this business that he came with an identity as the promised one sent because God so loved the world. And because of that, we have a second identity now in terms of Christ. One of 6 billion people, each of us is his, more than a blip. As Luke's story continues beyond this morning, you can see his identity unfold as he goes about the Father's business. We rejoice that we are a part of him, linked to him, baptized into him, into his death and resurrection, so that what his identity stands for, life, access to the Father, is ours. We are identified as guests at his table, clothed, as we heard in Monday's homily, with righteous robes that he provides, suitable for the occasion. In reference to him, to his identity, who he is, and what he does, we live and move and have our being. So just who is this Jesus? Faith knows, and it is wonderful each day to have the chance to take another look. Watch in the weeks to come, and we see the identity unfold as he goes about the business and then returns to Jerusalem to pave the way for a heavenly city. And who are we? There are many things we could suggest, but in the end, what finally matters is nothing we bring on our own. Who are we? We're with him. Seek where you may to find a way, but don't look too long or too far. For he was, and in his word and sacrament he still is, at work in our midst, still about the Father's business. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in this Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.